What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today, because we like to sometimes start with our stupid and or light story of the day before we go into the truly dark, is who are people angry at today news? And the answer is an oldie, but a goodie, Justin Bieber. Yesterday, if you didn't see, Justin Bieber seemed to announce that he and Hailey Bieber, formerly Baldwin, were having a child by posting a picture of a sonogram on Instagram. Bieber then followed that up with a post that said, if you thought it was April Fool's, with a photo showing Hailey surrounded by what appear to be medical professionals. And then finally, Justin Bieber followed it up with another post admitting that it was, in fact, an April Fool's joke. That post reading, wait, oh my god, is that a April Fool's? With this photo of a little puppy. As far as the reaction, well, I mean, you had some people that weren't tricked. You had some initially realizing this has to be a joke when they uncovered that the first picture that he posted was actually on the Wikipedia page for ultrasound. And while you saw many fans and just general people kind of laughing it off as a pretty standard April Fool's joke, because that's what was happening, some people took issue with him seemingly joking about what they saw as a serious topic. And some of the responses that gained some traction included, Justin Bieber lying about Hailey being pregnant is beyond disrespectful. 1 in 4 women suffer from infertility, miscarriages, stillborn babies. How fucking disrespectful. April Fools or not, fake pregnancy announcements are fucking disgusting. Are we still doing this in 2019? And in another tweet adding, I'm 1 in 4, and I for one did not find this funny at all. I hope no one in his family ever experience a miscarriage or lose a baby. The feeling never goes away. Others simply calling it gross and insensitive. You get the idea. On the other side of this, you had a lot of people saying that people were blowing this out of proportion. You had people saying it's a common prank. It would have been a different situation if for some reason he joked about Hailey not being able to get pregnant, or if they had joked about infertility or miscarriages. But Justin has now responded to the backlash on Instagram saying, there's always gonna be people offended. There's also people who don't take jokes very well. I am a prankster and it was April Fool's. He goes on to say that he had no ill intent, saying, but I will apologize anyway and take responsibility and say sorry to people who were offended. Then going on to say, it's like when I shoved cake in my little sister's face for her birthday, expecting her to laugh, but she cried. You sometimes just don't know what will hurt someone's feelings. Not to compare pregnancy with cake in the face, but it's just to paint the picture of not knowing what will offend. Some might have laughed, but some were offended. So there's that. I personally don't think that he needed to apologize. I personally feel for the woman that said that she had a miscarriage. Women who go through that horrible moment in life. I know from having women around me who have gone through that, how immensely horrible that is. While at the same time, never being able to fully understand what that's like. But in my personal opinion, there is nothing about Justin Bieber's post that is disrespectful or an attack on you. It was done on April 1st, April Fool's Day, by a guy who is in the limelight to the point where he's essentially like a glorified zoo animal. And given the industry that has been built around him to comment on every single thing that he does and seek him out to photograph and to track and talk about anything post publicly, he used that position to pull a prank on people that are overly interested in his life. And I think the fact that we're not only talking about this on my show, where my main point of this is people had a big reaction, I think it's crazy. We're in a place where this is getting covered by CNN and Fox News. That's wild. And so actually, if anything, I kind of commend Justin Bieber for trolling people here. But that said, that's a story, my personal opinion, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this. And then I feel like just at least briefly, we should talk about Brexit. This is of course something we've talked about, we've covered and tracked since 2016. It's been a little bit since we talked about it because there's not a ton to say about a story that's like, hey, everyone's saying they're gonna vote no. Oh, look, they voted no. Last time we talked about this, the EU gave the UK a short extension. On March 27th, Prime Minister Theresa May says that she'll step down after, quote, a smooth and orderly Brexit. Maybe she was just stating facts. Maybe she was using that as a way to say, hey, don't you want to vote for my Brexit deal? I'll get the hell out of here. On March 29th, what we ended up getting, not a surprise, the Brexit deal fails to pass by a vote of 344 to 286. Then on April 1st, we see the 4 alternatives to Theresa May's deal fail for a second time. And the news that we're getting today is that Theresa May is saying that she needs a short extension again from the EU, saying that it is necessary and that she is willing to compromise with the Labour Party. But ultimately, where we stand now, the UK has 10 days to get a plan they can agree on to the EU or they're out. Also, as we talked about in our previous coverage, the EU elections are very soon. So for now, we're gonna have to see if there is some sort of compromise that can be reached. Also, would the EU grant another extension? We've seen them previously say they're only okay with a long-term extension if there is some sort of political reboot in the UK. But yeah, that's where we are right now. I'll be sure to dive into the story deeper when something actually happens. Really, a lot of talking about the Brexit story feels a little bit like reporting on Lucy holding a football and then pulling it out of the way when Charlie Brown tries to kick it. It's like we know the setup looks like something is going to happen, but ultimately we're always going to be disappointed. Ultimately, there's going to be no movement. Everyone's going to be angry and embarrassed. But at least with Lucy's situation, someone got joy. Yeah, there was that. And then let's talk about the updates around the horrible Nipsey Hussle situation we covered yesterday. Part of this involves the vigil. Part of this involves the suspect. Regarding the vigil, around 300 fans gathered to mourn the loss of Nipsey Hussle outside of his Marathon clothing shop in South Los Angeles. It was the same area where he was gunned down Sunday afternoon. But that memorial ended abruptly when multiple people were trampled and local authorities began forming containment lines, with reports saying that at least 19 people were injured in what turned into a stampede. And according to Los Angeles Police Chief Michael Moore, it is not immediately clear what caused this panic at the memorial. We had initial reports suggesting that gunfire had broken out. However, police later confirmed that no shots had actually been fired. You also had people like musician DeAndre Harvey, who was at the memorial, telling the LA Times that the event was initially peaceful, with fans and friends passing around a megaphone, sharing stories about Nipsey. But Harvey said that things changed after there was a fight that broke out. That fight caused liquor bottles and candles to break, which then caused some in the crowd to think that it was a shooting. And as far as those injuries, the Los Angeles Fire Department said that the majority of the victims had non-life-threatening trample injuries. However, at least two of the patients had critical injuries and two others had serious injuries, with one person being injured after being struck by a car, while another suffered a penetrating wound of an unknown cause. And according to a police spokeswoman, there was also a police officer who was injured as well. Reportedly, some threw rocks and bottles at police officers who were clearing the area, and at least one person was detained for disorderly conduct. So that was the vigil, but then of course there's the big question of who did this? Why did they do this? And regarding that, late last night, Los Angeles police released the name of a suspect who they believe shot and killed Hustle and injured two others. That alleged gunman has been identified as 29-year-old Eric Holder. According to Chief Moore, Holder approached Nipsey and a group of people and engaged in a dispute over what was described as a personal matter before leaving, with Moore saying, "We believe they were known to each other." Holder then returned and walked up to the men, firing several shots at them before fleeing into an alley where a sedan was waiting, and that sedan was driven by a woman who has not yet been identified. And we saw the police department saying on Twitter, "He was last seen in a 2016 white four-door Chevy Cruze, California license plate 7RJ-D742. Anyone with information related to his whereabouts or this deadly shooting is urged to contact South Bureau Homicide." You can tell the community involvement here has been key, not only in people mourning the loss of Nipsey Hussle, talking about his message that we need to move forward with that message, but also in actually identifying Eric Holder. Police Chief Moore saying that Holder was identified not only thanks to surveillance video, but statements and information from the community, adding, "I cannot thank enough that the community is the one who is helping us solve this case." And of course, remember, this is a developing situation. This is where we are right now. As things are updated, I'll try to keep updates in the description, top pinned comment, or just in tomorrow's video. And then let's talk about the news and updates regarding Jamal Khashoggi. Now, we talked about this story a lot last fall, and we'll link to the previous coverage, but here's a quick TLDR. Khashoggi was a Saudi journalist who was critical of the Saudi government and the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. Khashoggi ended up leaving Saudi Arabia over fear for his safety. He was living in the United States, and then back in October, he disappeared after he entered a Saudi consulate in Turkey. The Saudis initially claimed that he had left the consulate, but Turkish officials claimed that he was killed inside. And since October, the Saudis have continually shifted their story on what actually happened and where Khashoggi was. But that said, they have repeatedly denied that the prince or the government ordered the killing or had any knowledge of it beforehand. Though they did ultimately acknowledge that he was killed in the consulate, they said it was by people not connected to the government. And the last time we really dug into this was back in November when we saw two huge updates to the story. First, the Saudi government announced that they had 21 people in custody, that they had indicted 11 people involved in Khashoggi's killing, and that they were seeking the death penalty for 5 of those people. And soon after, the United States announced that it was placing sanctions on 17 individuals involved in Khashoggi's killing. And secondly, we saw multiple reports that a CIA investigation into the murder concluded that MBS had in fact ordered Khashoggi's killing. And reportedly, the CIA came to this conclusion based on intercepted communications, but they had no direct evidence implicating MBS. And in response to this, we saw Donald Trump outright deny the CIA's findings and say he believed MBS.
What if the Crown Prince, speaking to you, the President of the United States, directly lied to you about—
Well, that he told me that he had nothing to do with it. He told me that, I would say, maybe 5 times at different points.
But what if he's lying?
As recently as a few days ago.
Do you just live with it because you need him?
Well, will anybody really know? All right. Will anybody really know? But he did have certainly people that were reasonably close to him and close to him that were probably involved. You saw we put on very heavy sanctions, massive sanctions on a large group of people from Saudi Arabia. But at the same time, we do have an ally, and I want to stick with an ally that in many ways has been very good.
And with all that said, since we last talked about Khashoggi, a lot has happened. I'm going to try to break this down for you. We're going to try and quickly run through some of the key updates, but please know this is not everything that has happened over the last 4 months. Regarding Trump, we've seen him maintain that same hard line that MBS didn't order the killings, but this has been continually rebuked by the Senate, including top Trump allies. Back in December, you had CIA Director Gina Haspel, who of course was nominated by Trump, briefing senators on the CIA's report on the killing during a closed-door meeting, and the senators that came out of that meeting were convinced that MBS ordered the killing. Lindsey Graham, who is often a strong supporter of Trump now, said, "You can be assured it was thorough and the evidence is overwhelming. It is zero chance, zero, that this happened in such an organized fashion without the Crown Prince." Continuing, "The reason they don't draw the conclusion that he's complicit is because the administration doesn't want to go down that road, not because there's not evidence to suggest it." And just a few days later, the Senate unanimously approved a measure that stated that the U.S. Senate believed MBS was responsible for Khashoggi's murder in a massive rebuke of Trump. And along with that, the Senate also voted in favor of ending defending U.S. involvement in the Saudi-led war in Yemen. In February, we had Agnes Callamard, the UN human rights expert that was leading the independent inquiry into the murder, releasing her preliminary observations from her visit to Turkey. And among other things, the expert stated in her findings that the evidence presented to her team demonstrated that, quote, Mr. Khashoggi was the victim of a brutal and premeditated killing planned and perpetrated by officials of the state of Saudi Arabia and others acting under the direction of these state agents. And another thing we saw that same month is we saw the Trump administration refuse to submit a report to Congress drawing a conclusion about whether or not MBS was responsible for killing Khashoggi, which was very notable because Trump was actually required to submit the report under the rules of the Magnitsky Act, which requires the White House to carry out an investigation into any foreign human rights abuses and issue some kind of judgment. And like we talked about in our previous coverage, Congress triggered the act back in October, which gave Donald Trump 120 days to make a determination about the royal family's responsibility for the murder and then take some kind of action, usually sanctions. But Trump has refused to comply. But with all of that said, it brings us to the most recent update. Yesterday, it was reported that Khashoggi's children have received million-dollar houses in Saudi Arabia and five-figure monthly payments as compensation from the Saudi government. According to Saudi officials, as well as people close to the family, the houses are worth $4 million each, and individual payments of $10,000 or more are made to every one of the siblings every month, with one official telling the Washington Post that this agreement was approved last year by King Salman himself. And the official described the payments as an acknowledgement that a, quote, big injustice has been done and an attempt, quote, to make a wrong right. And reportedly, in addition to the houses, in addition to the monthly payments, all four of Khashoggi's children could receive tens of millions of dollars each, all reportedly in separate payouts from negotiations when the trials of Khashoggi's accused killers are concluded in the next few months. And these payments aren't damages paid to the siblings, they're blood money. And regarding this last part, that's actually not uncommon. Accepting blood money is a normal and legal practice in the Saudi legal system. And so in this system, because as we talked about earlier, five of the suspects in the Khashoggi case could face the death penalty. If those suspects are convicted, there are two options. One, they're sentenced to death, or two, the Khashoggi family could request financial compensation as an alternate punishment. It's not clear whether the family would have to pardon the killers in order to get the money, but this kind of agreement could close the case under Saudi law, which means that MBS, Mohammed Bonesaw, or his senior aides that are believed to be involved in this murder would never have to face any kind of trial. And so it seems like paying off Khashoggi's kids would be in their best interest. But with all of that said, the trials for the killings still have to conclude before this course of action could even happen. And despite the money and the homes that have already been given to Khashoggi's kids, we don't know what actions the family will take. And so for now, that's the situation. We're gonna have to wait to see what happens next. As far as my reaction to this, I'm not really surprised. If despite all of the intelligence we're getting, right, all the evidence where it says, yes, MBS was a part of this, our White House is not going to hold them accountable, how did we ever expect that Saudi Arabia would hold him accountable? You have a Saudi trial that's been described as cloaked in secrecy. The kids who have been extremely quiet about what has been happening, it turns out they're getting a ton of money. You know, you can have a Saudi official who's defended this saying, you know, it's part of our custom and culture. But really, it just seems like paying for a get out of jail free card. Right? Everyone has the knowledge that eventually people are gonna forget. People are gonna move on to the next thing. And people have it. And I also can't imagine what this does to the mindset of journalists. The indifference they see when they report on the horrible, the indifference they see at some of the highest levels of power when they are killed. It's just crazy to see, and imagine you just have to have such a strong will. But of course, that's the story as we see it now, some of my personal takeaway, and I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts around this? And that's where I'm going to end today's show. And remember, if you like this video, you wanna support what we do here for free, just hit that like button. Also, if you're new here, you want more of this into your daily life, just hit subscribe, ring that bell to turn on notifications. Also, if you're not 100% filled in, maybe you missed yesterday's Philip DeFranco show, this morning's extra deep dive. You can click or tap right there to watch those. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.